All right, I am so excited for this message, so I have to calm down a little bit because I'm excited to be here with you guys. I brought my little rock with me here today. I have to tell you, my little rock may be an illegal rock. I'm not sure. You'll understand more as I go on about that. But I'm just really excited, well, I guess partly because you guys, the tomb's empty. It's still empty. I mean, there's a dead man that came back to life, you guys. It changes everything, and we know him. Oh, my gosh, and here we are, like 2,000 years later, or 1,887, however many I figured it out the other day. But it's like, oh, you guys, I'm just so excited about who Jesus is and what he means and the what now. Like, okay, he's a dead man's raised from the dead. He's there. Like, now what? Right? And to look at that today is so exciting for me. And just to be here with you, to think of the things that God's doing among us, it's just crazy. Okay, so here's what I was thinking, like the now what? So I remember very distinctly when Vicky and I got married, and we went on our honeymoon, which is like a grand vacation, right? Right? So you got this big event that you're planning for. Hannah, Nathan, listen to this stuff. You got this great event that you're planning for, and you got all this stuff, then you zoom off onto a vacation, then you come back, and we came back, right? And we're sitting in our living room, my living room. You know, it was weird. And we're looking at each other, and it was like, so, like, you live here now, huh? And she's like, yeah, I mean, she had a house full of all of her stuff in West Peoria, her own home. She'd, you know, and all of her stuff, all of her clothes, everything's over there. But she's sitting here, and we're going like, yeah, that's like, it was kind of like this feeling of like, okay, we did the wedding, we did the vacation, honeymoon, and then here we are. And it's like, now what? We're like, we are roommates. It's like, got to make this work, right? And the same thing, like any of you have had a baby, right? You don't want the baby, you bring the baby home. It's like, now what do I do with it? I remember, I wanted to be a pastor. I was called to be a pastor. This all, you know, 4 years of college, 3 years of graduate school, papers on theology to be passed at, by the, you know, committees and ordination, and then I get to my first church, right? It was Jody Zukovic's church, the church she grew up in. And I'm sitting there, and I'm 27 years old when I come in here, right? Actually, I had three churches. They gave me three. Give this guy three. And I had Glassford, Kingston Mines, and Banner. But I was sitting in Glassford, and they said to me, Pastor, our Sunday school is really struggling. What should we do? I was like, I have no idea. I've never gone to Sunday school. I grew up Catholic. I went to school. I became a pastor. Here I am. You know, what do we do? I don't know. It's like, now what? Right? I got my church. Now what? Well, when Jesus came to the disciples, you know, there's a man standing in the living room. This is my paradigm of life has just been shattered. Here's what I thought. But now I've got this guy standing in my living room asking for some food who was just brutally killed, tortured, right? And now he's there and he's whole and he's healed and he's restored. It's a new body. He's the Messiah. What do I do with that? And so what I want to do today is I want to connect this to last week, and I want to look at how that question got answered in Peter. Right? Peter, who was going from, I don't know the man, I don't even know who he is, to, this Jesus was God, and you killed him on the street corners of Jerusalem, risking his life, right? That transition that happened. So for Peter over here, though, it's like, okay, he's denying, but now I know that he's alive. Now what do I do? And we're going to look at the scriptures and say, what did Jesus actually say, you know, right, to Peter about what to do? Then I want to go back. And I want to look at the contemporary context of that teenage boy that I talked about last week, who happened to be me, who took the Indiana Jones leap of faith, right? Right? The Indiana Jones step, there was nothing there to step on. Absolutely nothing. It's just total faith, and we accept Jesus, and we accept him in our lives, and it's like, and I felt changed in that moment. Now what? Now what do I do with this? And thirdly, I want to go back to Corrie Ten Boom today and follow up with, all right, she and Betsy in the concentration camp had a powerful experience of the presence of Jesus, actually walking with them and speaking to them simultaneously the same message. Spoke to her, spoke to Betsy, they shared, they said, we just heard the same thing. They had this amazing, and Corrie Ten Boom, you know, said in that moment, in those moments of those mornings, she realized that God's love still stands even in hell. Okay, now she gets out of the concentration camp. Now what? So let's look at those three things, and I think it'll give us direction as to how we go forward. And somewhere in all of that, I'm going to talk about this little rock that might be illegal. I don't know. So let's go back to how Jesus answered that question in Peter's life and look at the different gospel. There's not much here, okay? This won't take us very long. I'm going to go to each of the gospels in the beginning of Luke or Acts, and we're going to read what it says because there's not much. But Jesus says in Matthew 28, in verse 18, Jesus came to them and he said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Okay, so now what? Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That's the now what, right? Okay, but you've got these guys who've been following Jesus. They're fishermen, they're whatever, right? And it's like, okay, now go spread the word to the whole world. You know, go out to the nation. And it's like, how? Like what? Like, really, Jesus? Like I'm not feeling this, okay? I mean, how do we do this? Okay, so let's go to Mark. Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, here's the instructions that Jesus gives. Go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Now let's go to Luke, because Mark's very similar to what we saw in Matthew. Go out and do this stuff. And they're all sitting there going like, okay, we're not sure how to do that. So at the end of Luke, in 24, 45, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Now here's the what now, right? Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, Luke also wrote the book of Acts, so let's flip over there because it's a kind of a further discussion of what he just said at the end of his gospel. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So now, Jesus is linking together here for them. Here's the plan. You guys, I'm the Messiah, I am seated to the Father, I've been given all authority, I am it. We've got to tell people. The nations have to know. You've seen me. You've seen me killed, you've seen me alive, you've been with me 3 years. You have to take this out there. But, in case you're all feeling a little squeamish at this point, wait. First, you will receive the gift that my Father has said that he's going to give to you. You're going to be empowered to do these things. All right? Here's the plan in general terms. here's the plan. We're going to tell the nations. And here's the specific thing, the specific task. Wait until you get the power. Okay? So now you can see the connection between Bible-based, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled means that the church isn't truly the church. It's not fully the church. It's not wholly the church without the power of the Holy Spirit moving through it, operating in it, and enabling it to do what it does. So wait until you get that, and then you will fulfill these other tasks. In fact, Jesus had given a little bit of a preemptive kind of understanding of the Holy Spirit in John 14 and 16. He says in John 14, 16, 14, 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." It's like the other counselor, the other guy's coming, "to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And he says, "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit," I'm down in verse 26, "whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." So the promise that Jesus is giving them about the power that's coming from the Father, he has already told them earlier, before this is going to be a system of guidance. The paraclete, the counselor, someone's going to come alongside of you. Peter, it's going to be okay. Don't freak, right? Someone's going to come alongside of you, the other counselor. In fact, it's actually better that I leave so that that counselor can come. See, we could question that, right? We could say, what is better than God in the flesh walking beside you every day? How can it be better? That leads us into the concept of the Trinity, because the Holy Spirit is no less than Jesus. And it's better because its function will be different from the function Jesus had in human flesh as one person. This presence of God will be in all of you. And when you go off into that nation, it's like Jesus personally walking with you, but Jesus also personally staying with this person, Jesus personally, like, right? And so he says, it's actually better for you to have this other counselor. It's coming as I leave. It comes. It's my Spirit. So they have this idea and they have this anticipation of how that's going to happen in there. Now, let's go for Peter's to see more about Peter, how Jesus speaks to Peter at the very end, because it gives us an important key of the what now. All right? What's next? Dead man's alive again. Jesus is Lord. You've given your life to Christ. What's next? Chapter 21, verse 15. When they'd finished eating, Jesus had gone, he met them in the Sea of Galilee on the shore, right? They were fishing in the boat. They said, it's the Lord. Peter jumped in the water. He said, throw the net on the other side. They caught 153 fish. I don't know who sat there and counted all those, but they did, and they got the right number, and it's in the Bible, and significant for some reason. And so now after they've eaten, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And take care of my sheep. Third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. So what we see here, when we talk about Peter personally, this is very personal. And the only reason we have this is because John was there. This is the Gospel of John. John was there. He heard this. Because then later Peter says, well, what about him? The disciple whom Jesus loved. And but we have this. Is this just so important? Jesus is saying, okay, what happens now, Jesus? And Jesus says, well, Peter. And you know, he denied Jesus three times, and so Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? And we interpret this as the reinstatement of Peter, right? And it very well could be. And so, you know, Jesus said, do you love me? Yes. And would you please feed and take care of my lambs. Now, what this says is the what now of Jesus' messiahship and Peter's life is, Peter, what now is love? Peter, love. Peter, love. I don't care what else happens, Peter. Do you love me? Because if you love me, Peter, you will love my little lambs. And the what now of Peter's life was given over to that. It was given over to the teaching and the leading of the lambs of that formed the flock there in Jerusalem and taking that out to others. And there's such a beautiful, it's so beautiful, you guys, right now, like in this moment, it's so beautiful to see the heart of Jesus. So the answer of what now isn't just, well, do step A, step B, step C, right? The what now is, have a heart, Peter, that loves like I loved, so that I can continue to shepherd my flock through you. Love me, let me love through you, and let that love form the body that will be the testimony on the earth of who I was. And this is how they'll know, Peter, that you're my follower. This is how they'll know that all of you are my followers, if you love one another the way that I loved you. You see how Jesus was just like soaking that into Peter's heart? Like, you know, a lot of things are going to happen, Peter. Pentecost is going to come. You're going to stand up and preach. It's going to be crazy. You guys are going to continue to see miracles. But Peter, if you don't love, we've failed. We lost it. Because it's the basis. So Peter is getting instructed here on what is the next step. And just as, you know, when we, speaking of EGS, Kelsey, we announced that today and how awesome EGS is. For a long time in EGS, we would do teachings on the prophetic, and then we would go into it when we met here together. And Daryl, Neil, just really felt like from the Lord, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit pointed out to Daryl, that right in the middle of the listing and the talking of the spiritual gifts and the talking about pursuing the spiritual gifts is this strange appearance of this chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 that is all about love. Right in the middle of all the Holy Ghost stuff. And it was like, God put it there. Because it's like, unless that's there, the rest of this has no, it has no meaning, it has no effect. It's not accomplishing anything. All right, it's not accomplishing the purposes of God that ultimately with the long view is, unless they see us as a community of love, we will not be effective in accomplishing the Great Commission or any other instruction that Jesus gave us. And so Daryl taught all these, you know, you come to Bradley Upworth, you come to ETS, you come to a teaching on the prophetic, and you get taught about love, because he went all the way through 1 Corinthians 13. You know, love is this, love is this, love is this. And how do we see those things operating in our lives? Because if we see those things operating in our lives, the flowing of the gifts of the Spirit have their maximum opportunity without being blocked. And it's like, and that's what Peter is getting instructed by Jesus here. It's like, it's all about love, Peter, and I want you, if you love me, then take care of my little lambs. If you love me, love one another the way I loved you. That is why our dear friend that we lost last week, Nancy Schneider, that is why she was Nancy. She was gifted prophetically. She was gifted biblically. She was an amazing teacher. She had all sorts of gifts, but you guys, that's not why 100 kids in their 20s were gravitating to her and attracted by her and sticking to her. Or any of the others of us. It was because she had this thing in her that was the love of God in her that we could feel and sense and know and trust. And it just it highlighted all of her spiritual gifts, made them beautiful. And you talk to people and they say, I was pretty special to Nancy. And somebody else said, yes, so was I. And, yeah, so was I. And, like, everyone, like, feels like, well, I was pretty close to her. Yeah, she really liked me. You know, just like, that's just how the disciples were probably with Jesus, right? Well, you know, I am his favorite. I mean, John said so. I'm the disciple Jesus loved. I mean, come on, we all know that, right? But they were all saying that. And, you know, the comparison of those two things was really made me realize, it's like, Nancy loved with Jesus' love. And she would always quote Romans 5:5, always say that to me. Well, Pastor Tom, you know that hope does not disappoint because God has shed abroad his love in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. The NIV says poured out. God has poured his love into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's his love that we love with. Do you know the difference between loving with human love and loving with godly love? Yeah, it's all the difference. And so that's what Peter's learning. That's the what now. The what now in Peter's life has to do with the instructions for the Great Commission. It has to do with the instructions to wait until the power comes, but it has also to do with how he loves. So now let's go to the teenage boy who took the Indiana Jones leap of faith. By the way, Indiana Jones, okay, so to finish the story, okay, the thing in the other cave that he had to get across to was the Holy Grail. It's the communion chalice that Jesus used at the Last Supper, okay? And it's in that other cave, and if anybody drinks from it, they're immortal, and his dad is dying in this cave, and so he goes over, he gets it, he brings it back, he fills it with holy water, he brings it back, his dad sips it, and he lives, okay? So, yay. Because I knew you guys were wondering. So they're running out of the temple, and the bad guys grab the chalice, and they take it out of the temple, which you're not supposed to do. And so the ground gave in underneath them, and they fell in with the chalice, and it's lost forever. So there we go. End of story. But I also learned that there's a new Indiana Jones movie coming out. 78-year-old Harrison Ford. Yeah, don't joke. Can you see him running? I can't see it. You know, like, doing his whip. Like, whack. And he's it's in July of 2022. It's the fifth one, and I'm sure that it'll be the last one. Anyway, so now I've taken care of Indiana. So the kid that took the leap of faith was me, and I met Jesus at that time. And so the now what was really kind of strange for me because it was like I felt the change in me. I look back at it now, and I know that's when I met Jesus because he's been with me ever since. But the now what for me was like, okay, now what do I do with this? I'm a Christian. Hey, I'm a Christian. I ran out of the church, and I saw someone. I said, hey, I'm a Christian now. And it's like, I just had this insatiable need to read the Bible because I never had, and I wanted to read the New Testament. So I read it in 3 days. The entire thing, and I just consumed it, and I wanted to be with Christians, okay? I wanted to be with Christians, and I wanted to see, like, I got changed. Jesus changed me. I asked him into my heart. I changed. Did that happen to you? Yeah, that happened to me, too. It was, like, so exciting to be with other people that were experiencing the same thing. It'd be like, I'd go to prayer meetings where people from my high school were running the prayer meetings, and it was like the surfer dudes, and it was like, oh, these surfer dudes, you know, became Christians, and I surfed, but I wasn't a surfer dude, okay? There's a difference. There is a difference. There's a certain walk, talk, demeanor, look, and I didn't have any of them. So anyway, it was like, but they were, you know, and it was like we'd get together and people, we would just pray. We would sing these songs. I was talking to Daryl and Sue about the songs that we used to sing because what was happening to me in California in 1974 when I gave my life to Jesus was happening to Daryl and Sue over in Washington in the catacombs in Washington Square where you guys would get together with other Christians, right? And exciting. And we would sing these songs. I love these songs. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Come to the water. Stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. You won't be denied. When I get to heaven, I'm going to walk with Jesus. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see his face. When I get to heaven, I'm going to talk with Jesus. Saved by his glorious grace because I'm saved. Saved. Wonderfully saved. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Saved. Saved. Wonderfully saved. And I'm so glad I am. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Barb. And it was like, oh, they were such exciting times, such exciting days. And then we'd get together and someone would say, well, you know, some of the kids were praying in the prayer meetings in these other languages, and it was strange to me. And they would say, oh, well, Tom, that's speaking in tongues. I said, what in the world is that? So, you know, right, it's in the Bible, and we can pray for you, and I said, well, I don't know, man, I'm Catholic, I don't know if this works, you know, you guys are this, I'm this, so I found a Catholic meeting where they were praying for people for the filling of the Holy Spirit, and so they prayed for me, and I had a great experience of just the peace of Jesus and warmth, and my eyes were fluttering kind of thing, and other things happened. But later, after that, I did get a personal prayer language, a spiritual language, and it was wonderful, and it's been with me ever since. And it's been like, I mean, I pray in the Spirit all day, every day, like off and on for everything. It's a resource for me. It's like, I don't have to have words for this situation. Like, you know, like if I'm in a tough spot, or I'm feeling like something, it's just like, I just, you know, I just go to God, and I just let it come to Him, and it's just like, I don't know what I just prayed, right? But He does. And it's been a resource, it's been a strength, it's been a guide for my life. So, praise God. The now what for me was like, okay, that's something else. Like, what, God's got something for me? Right? Yeah. I just trusted. I just believed, and I just went for it. And then we had this thing with, let Holy Spirit guide you and take you to the foot of the cross. It's kind of like self-prophecy. Like, we're just doing this thing, Holy Spirit, come. Take me to the foot of the cross. And let me hear what Jesus has to say to me, right? And see what that is. And then we would share that, and we would talk about it. And so I prayed, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come, lead me to the foot of the cross. And He wouldn't. I couldn't get there. I was like, I can't get to the cross. I'm failing the assignment. I can't get to the cross. And it's like He led me instead to this seashore. And there was a man bent over a fire on the seashore, and he looked up at me, and I knew it was Jesus. And he looked straight at me, and he said, Tom, feed my sheep. And that has been the lifelong guide and vision and direction of my life. And so 40-whatever years later, here I am, fulfilling the very thing that the Holy Spirit showed me was going to be the purpose of my life. So in 98, when I had my brain condition that was predicted by the doctors to be, you know, I'd be gone in 6 to 12 months, some friends of mine went to the Holy Land. And they said, Tom, every place we went, we prayed for you, for healing. We wrote your name on a piece of paper and stuck it in the walls of the, you know, the Wailing Wall. They stuck my name in there. And they said, we wanted to bring you something back. And they don't know anything of my story or that vision or anything. They said, we wanted to bring you something back, and we didn't know what to bring you back. And they said, his name was Dan. Dan was standing on the Sea of Galilee, and he looked down, and he said, I'm supposed to bring Tom a rock. That's my little rock, which might be illegal, because he just took it from Israel. So the people on the, Hannah, can you get this for the people on the live stream? There's my rock, okay? There, yeah. You guys see that? He said, I don't know why. He said, of all the little souvenirs they could have brought, right? He said, we just brought you this rock. And he said, it's from where Peter, or Jesus turned to Peter and said, feed my sheep. Yeah, right? So what does that say to me? It says, Holy Spirit is an ongoing reality in our lives that can do all sorts of amazing things. It can give me a vision as a teenager about what is my call in my life is, and fast forward 30 years or 25 years, and He can connect. He can give a message to somebody in Israel, hey, take this back to Tom to remind him. It's not over. Okay? So, somewhere around 2004, 2005, Kelsey, when was Bethany baptized? Do you remember? She was in high school, right? Okay, 2006 or 7. Bethany was getting baptized, and I had never been baptized with full immersion, right? Theologically, I was baptized as an infant, and I didn't feel theologically that I needed baptism to be saved, because I knew I was saved. But there was an obedience of Scripture in there that, you know, that I wanted to fulfill. And so that night, I thought, I'm going to get baptized. And so Pete, where's Pete? Pete's dad, Jerry Colgan, out there, Caleb and Devin, you guys, your grandfather. And I said, Jerry, I want you to baptize me tonight. And so he said, okay, hey, it's cool. My pastor's finally getting baptized. Can you imagine? What happened last night, church? Oh, our pastor got baptized. Oh, that's good. Here's the crazy thing, you guys. I went down into the water, and when I came up, all those songs that I sang, you know, when I get to heaven, going to walk with Jesus, come to the water, turn your eyes upon Jesus, they all just came flooding into my mind simultaneously. There was just like all these songs just came flooding into my mind. I come up out of the water, and it's just like the songs of my conversion that the Holy Spirit connected, right, to the days of my conversion and giving my life to Jesus, to this moment of being baptized and coming up out of the water and hearing all this. And it was like, it just filled my heart and my mind. Oh, God, you know, those are the songs of my faith, my life. And then he gave me, and then the other thing that I got from Jesus in that time was a boldness. I got a boldness that I want to tap into again and see what that looks like in my life now as a 65-year-old. But I would, you know, I'd pick up hitchhikers and witness to them, right? We could do that back then, right? Before they all were serial killers or whatever. And it's like, you know, now it's like, are you crazy? But I would pick them up and I would talk to them about Jesus, and it was awesome. I think this guy was on the road and his shirt's all messed up and torn, and I stopped and I took my shirt off and gave it to him because I read the Bible. Right? I read the New Testament in 3 days. And the Testament, didn't it say something about take your shirt off? Like, somebody needs it, give it, right? I had two of them. I had a t-shirt under my shirt. And so I was like, I said, oh, hey, here, take this shirt. And he's got, like, what? Thank you. And then I gave him a $20 bill, and he really lighted up in that one. And then I gave him my Bible, the one that I read in 3 days. It was just a little paperback, Good News for Modern Man. It had little stick drawings in it. It was awesome. And I handed that to him. He said, wow, this is awesome. Thank you. And I said, no. It's not from me. I said, Jesus told me to give this to you. And I told him about Jesus. I even hitchhiked. And when I got in the car, I witnessed to that guy, too, about Jesus. Right? But I had to on that one. This is a Volkswagen minibus. We were in the Sierras. The drop-off was like this, no guardrails. He was lighting up a joint, and his 5-year-old was on his lap steering. I thought, I need to witness to this guy really quick. Like, I would like him to become a Christian right now and stop this. But there was a boldness. There was a sense of just a natural, right? It was natural. It wasn't like if I, you know, you feel it now and you think like, oh, I don't know if I should say something. I don't know if this is awkward. I didn't think those things. Those thoughts didn't enter in. There was a Holy Spirit boldness where it was like, oh, hey, do you know Jesus? Oh, hey, you know, like, and it was just like natural. It was like all just what we did. And I can relate to the boldness of the disciples because it's like Holy Spirit does that in us. All right, now, finally, that's Peter, that's me, Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom gets out of the concentration camp by a mistake. Somebody made a mistake on the paperwork, and they said, oh, you're being let go. And I was like, well, she wasn't supposed to be let out. But she did, and she got out. Betsy had already died, the sister that she was with, and they used to walk around the yard, and they would hear Jesus speak to both of them simultaneously. And Betsy was just the love of her life, really. So was her father. I mean, she just, Corrie Ten Boom's an amazing Christian, a witness. So she gets out in December after Betsy had died. And it's like, okay, so this powerful encounter with the love of God, we found God, like Jesus came and walked with us. Jesus came and loved us. Jesus came and did miraculous provision in the middle of hell, right? So now what do you do with your life after that? She remembered. Holy Spirit gave her, remember in John 14, the Holy Spirit will give you remembrance? Holy Spirit gave her remembrance of something Betsy said. Betsy said to her, Corrie, we have to tell people what we've learned here in the concentration camp. We've got to tell people what we've learned. So for the next 30 years, Corrie Ten Boom, she called herself A Tramp for the Lord. That's the second book that she wrote after The Hiding Place. A Tramp for the Lord, she spent her whole 30 years traveling and talking about the love of God that they discovered, the forgiveness of God. She would go and she would lecture about forgiveness in German churches, about how we have to forgive, right? And this man came up after she spoke once, and she recognized him immediately as one of the most cruel SS guards in Ravensbrück, where she had been imprisoned with her sister. And she saw him coming toward her, and she said, when she saw his face, everything came flooding back. How he used to mock the women who had to undress in front of him to take showers. She said she saw the pathetic pile of dresses that were just dropped there, and the shoes, pile of shoes, and the harsh lights, and this mocking face of this cruel man watching them all. And she thought, and she said her blood just froze. She said she felt her blood just freeze. And he came up to her, and he said to her, he put his hand out to shake her hand, and she didn't respond, and he stood there, and he said, "A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea." And she just looked in her purse. She didn't want to engage the guy, right? So she said, "I just turned and fumbled in my purse." And he didn't leave. He said, "You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a guard there. But since that time, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well." He said, "Fräulein, will you forgive me?" And she said, "I stood there. These are her words, "I, whose sins had again and again been forgiven, but I could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place a slow and terrible death. How can he erase that simply by asking?" She said, I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do, but I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Corey remembered in that moment that forgiveness is an act of the will, not an emotion. And she said, "Jesus, help me. I'll lift my hand. I can do that much, but you have to do everything else." She said, "As I did, the current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. 'I forgive you, brother,' I cried, 'with all my heart.' And for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. And in that moment, I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. But at that moment, I realized it was not my love. I tried. I didn't have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit." So the what now is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to do what we can't do, to love like we can't love, to forgive like we can't forgive, to do things, you guys, that people can't do so that the world will know there's something else, there's something real. This Jesus is real. This God is real. What is this Holy Spirit that can cause you and enable you to do what people can't do? That's what's now. That's what we're going to look at. That's what we're going to spend 6 weeks looking at together, to see and to know and to grow in this Spirit of the living God, this power that is from above, this thing in us that enables us to do things we can't do, that can give us vision for life, that can give us boldness for witnessing, that can do just all sorts of amazing things in our lives. But most of all, it can enable us to love with His love. So Jesus, we set ourselves before you. We set ourselves at your feet. We set ourselves at, you are the King. We've called you our King. I said, He's my King. I don't know who else has got a King, but I've got a King, and it's Jesus. And I'm submitted to Him and His will in my life and His wonder in my life and His power in me, making Him real on this earth. So God, yeah, I pray now, Holy Spirit, would you come and lead us in this as a church community? Would you lead us as a body of Christ? Would you lead us as individuals? Will you help us to understand what does this mean for me? What does this mean for us? Without any preconceived notion of what it's going to look like, we just say, Holy Spirit, come and be who you are in me. Be who you are in us. But we say yes. We say yes. And we will pursue the Pentecost Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.